ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Former President Trump hit with a $355 million fine as the judge overseeing his New York civil fraud case rendered his punishment on Friday. State Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the case, praising the verdict.
There cannot be different rules for different people in this country, and former presidents are no exception.
Trump's attorneys vowing to appeal. One firefighter is dead and nearly a dozen others injured after a home explosion in Virginia. The explosion occurred in Sterling, Virginia, about 30 minutes after fire crews were called to investigate a gas leak. Authorities say two civilians were also hurt. Prominent Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died, according to Russian prison officials. Navalny died serving a 19-year prison sentence. He was 47. Authorities in Kansas City charging two minors with crimes connected to the mass shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rally that killed one person and injured 22 others. This is ABC News. Prince Harry speaking publicly about the cancer diagnosis of his father, King Charles.
Prince Harry speaking for the first time about the moment he learned his father, King Charles, had been diagnosed with cancer.
I jumped on a plane and went to go and see him as soon as I could.
How was that visit for you emotionally?
Look, I love my family. The fact that I was able to get on a plane and go and see him and spend any time with him, I'm grateful for that.
Harry didn't meet with his brother, Prince William, but tells me he hopes his father's illness could have a unifying effect on the royal family.
Any illness, any sickness brings families together.
That's ABC's Will Reeve reporting. An autopsy report says a 5-year-old Venezuelan boy who died in December inside a shelter for migrants in Chicago died from sepsis and a bacterial infection that causes strep throat. Jean Carlos Martinez died December 17th with medical examiners saying contributing factors were also COVID-19 and cold viruses. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Governor Evers is considering new legislative district maps that experts say are an improvement over the current gerrymandered maps. As Mike Mohn reports, fair maps should lead to more functional and responsive state government.
This week, the Republican-led legislature approved the map submitted by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Yuseli Flores with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition says if these maps are fully implemented, they'll finally usher in a more balanced legislative body.
These maps would change Wisconsin's future for years to come, and it will definitely get rid of what happened in 2011. It'll dismantle that partisan gerrymander.
Following the 2010 census, Republicans were in charge of the redistricting process and have since maintained large majorities in the legislature. That's despite more competitive races for statewide elections. Evers has pledged to sign the maps. However, some of his fellow Democrats have misgivings about the GOP's approach, including language that says the maps wouldn't take effect until the general election in November, excluding any special or recall elections this year. And some policy analysts say Republicans still might hold a slight advantage even with the Evers maps. However, Flores says that doesn't mean there won't be any progress in establishing the change advocates want to see. She adds this could help bolster candidate recruitment in marginalized districts.
Folks that might not have millions of dollars in the bank that are running because they're tired of big money politics.
State election leaders have set a deadline of March 15th for the new maps to be in place. The hurry to update the boundaries comes after the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned the current legislative districts in a December ruling. The court would have to choose maps if an agreement isn't finalized in time. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey, this is Dom from the Devil's Abacus. Tune in Monday, 4 to 6, Crudy's gone. Nate and I are holding down the fort. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Tune in, 4 to 6.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. More sunshine than clouds for the afternoon Saturday, but breezy. Highs upper 20s. On Sunday, a little warmer, more sun in mid-30s. Early next week, starting off dry with temperatures jumping back up into the 40s. Currently, it's 10 above.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour. It's a broke-ass Friday edition. Not just for the former president who's been fined $354 million in his fraud trial, if you didn't know.
Plus interest.
Plus interest. Trump broke AF.
He's speaking right now on MSNBC and CNN. Donald Trump is speaking down in Palm Beach, if we're able to maybe grab that. We'll get to it. ABC News reporting, Crudy, yes. $530 million in fines is the math that ABC News is doing. $354 million plus interest. And of course, the $83.3 million in damages plus the $5 million to E. Jean Carroll for the defamation case against her.
Dom, we'd hate to miss the rantings of the newly broke AF Donald Trump. We've got it. Nate's working hard. He's bringing us the sound live. Do it live.
Interference. There were no victims because the banks made a lot of money. They made $100 million. And by the way, I paid approximately $300 million in taxes as Sucker. The migrants come in and they take over New York. I paid over this period of years over $300 million.
I prove it. Release your taxes, sir.
And they want
I will
me
when
out.
The audit's
oh,
done.
Let's see if we can get them out. These are radical left Democrats. They're lunatics. And it's election interfering. So I just want to thank you for being here. We'll appeal. We'll be successful, I think, because, frankly, no. If we're not successful, New York State is gone. People are moving out of New York State. And because of this, they're going to move out at a much faster rate.
You and Hannity.
They use the statute. It's a consumer fraud statute that's never been used for a thing like this before. They used it on me because I'm running for president. I'm beating Biden by a lot. We're beating not only the Republicans.
Not New
we're
York.
Biden by a lot. The poll came out today. We're up 20 points on Biden. If I weren't running, none of this stuff would have ever happened. None of these lawsuits would have ever happened. Nothing would. I would have had a nice life. But I enjoy this life for a different reason. We're going to make America great again. These are corrupt people. These are people that shouldn't be allowed to
yes,
do
you
the
are.
Things they do. And they're using this
no,
as weaponization
not.
Against a political opponent who's up a lot in the polls and always will
New
be
York
because
State,
I'm
man.
Competing with a man who can't put two sentences together, who doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay,
we're
Nancy
heading into
Pelosi.
A third world war because of this guy. We have to win this election. They're doing everything.
Very effective argument for why he's not guilty of defrauding the state of New York.
Thank you very much. We will get back to work. It's a ridiculous award. This is a fine of $355 million for doing a perfect job, for having paid back a loan with no defaults, with no problems. The banks were totally, at the trial, they testified. We had an expert witness from the Stern School at NYU that made a statement. And I was very honored by his statement. He's one of the most respected.
You had to pay that guy $500,000 for his statement.
Expert wisdom. He said, this is one of the greatest financial statements I have ever witnessed before. And he talked about even the detail. So my numbers,
along with the
extremely conservative,
cover it all, they saw don't this. Believe any
so
of it, disclaimer.
He brought down certain values like Mar-a-Lago, made it ridiculous. But the expert, after having all of this, testified it's one of the best financial statements he's ever seen, and I was
ever.
Honored by that. But I also knew we have a corrupt judge. He's not a respected man. And again, I said before, he's been overturned on this case by the appellate division 4 times already.
Trump
it's a record. Nobody's
case,
ever been overturned on one case 4 times. And I think very importantly, and I think
it's too much winning, Dom.
The most important, we've employed tens of thousands of people in New York. And we pay taxes like few other people have ever paid in New York. And they don't care about that. It's a state that's going bust. It's a state that's going bust because everybody.
No, that's you, Trump. You're going bust.
It's all headed up by Biden, who's destroying our country.
Biden,
so this is Russia. This is China. This is what
you've
been reading about all your lives. And it's happening right here in our country. Thank you very much. We will stop it. We will make America great again. You
again.
Have my word. Thank you very much.
Well, your word's not worth as much as it used to be.
I mean,
I wouldn't take that guy's word for a lunch check, Dom.
Oh, my goodness. So there you go. I mean, it's no big deal. I'm seeing the number 453.5 million dollars if you throw in the interest.
And the E. Jean Carroll that's on there as well?
No, E. Jean Carroll brings up to over 530, according to ABC News. 844-967-2789. It's Grievances Friday. It's Festivus Friday. We hear the grievances on Fridays. This is not one of mine, but apparently Donald Trump, he's very aggrieved by being caught, called out on the fraud that he had committed. And again, I'm going to use my analogy again, Crudy. I think it goes to the point. If you steal money from a company and take that cash and go to the casino and bet on black and win, and then take the money back, take your winnings, you doubled it up and put the money back into the company. No, right? No one lost any money. In fact, people made money. That's still fraud. It's still wrong. And you can still be prosecuted and should be prosecuted for it. Because of course, if it doesn't work out that way, then everyone loses. And you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior, Mr. Trump, even though you got away with it for a very long time, in one respect, he's probably right. If he didn't poke his head up, and start and get involved, he probably wouldn't have the microscope shoved up his ass to the degree that he has.
Just because I acknowledged it was a good analogy once didn't mean you had to use
analogy.
It again and again.
It's a great analogy that goes to the point of what he's trying to say. All the banks got paid. Everybody made money. We paid taxes. Yeah. Well, the whole premise was fraud. It's all great when it works out. It's when it doesn't work out that it becomes a problem. That's why it's regulated. That's why you can't lie in your loan docs.
My only grievance, because my life's about to get a little cushier for a week, Dom. I'm taking off. I'll be back next Friday to join you on the airwaves, but you're doing solo shows without me, I understand.
It's going to be glorious. Nate and I are going to have a party, man. The audience is going to come with me. I mean, the ratings are going to go through the roof. It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen in this country before.
Greatest ratings ever. And then next Friday, I'll rejoin you on the airwaves. And then February 26th, that's Monday, the expansion, the greatest radio show ever. Getting 50% better, Dom. Going from 2 to 3 hours. 3 to 6, our new time. Please make a note of it. And I'm looking forward to it. Well, we'll see how early you join. I know you're not always an early innovator. Won't always be with me in the 3 o'clock hour, but
we'll figure it out.
We'll be there in spirit often.
You know it. You know it.
But I'm sneaking off on a vacation in my only grievance. I'm feeling a little broke. I'm not like Trump broke. You know what I mean? I don't have like a $354 million judgment plus interest hanging over my head. But you ever try to fly a family of four out to the West Coast and then meet your daughter and her new boyfriend and his whole family there and find a place big enough to entertain all these people? I'll be paying credit cards back till
we'll be broke
till my kids are done paying their student loans back, something like that. Anyways,
I'm trying to
Big grievances, just being a dad whining because stuff costs money.
Yes, travel costs money. I was seeing, I don't remember where it was now, talking about, you know, Donald Trump's net worth and what it could be, and I think it was Forbes. Someone estimated his net worth obviously lower than the $10 million that he had.
I've seen $3 to $5 billion.
So if you got, you know, again, $5 million, call it on the high end. That's still 10% plus of your net worth, man. Coming up with 10% of your net worth. I mean, and then you got to pay the attorneys and all. I mean, that is, and a lot of your wealth is presumably tied up in real estate, not very liquid, not very easy to pull that money out, especially if you got to what? Get a line of credit, get a HELOC? You know, is anyone going to trust Donald Trump's application for the loan? You know what I'm saying? How do you know?
See, I mean, the disclaimer. Don't trust any of these financials to be accurate. I must give you that disclaimer up front.
And who knows what off book, you know, security he's got. You know, guy like that, and I have no proof of this, but I just have a feeling with folks like that, you're probably getting some off book money that you're putting off book security on. You know what I'm saying? That's how that kind of thing works. Hell, did they say they got a lot of their money from Russia back in the day? Deutsche Bank, remember them? They got fined hundreds of millions of dollars for what? Doing laundering Russian money. Oh, that's right. And what did they do with that laundered Russian mob money? Oh, it went into real estate in the state of New York.
Well, Dom, they have a wealth management division that caters to clients like Donald Trump, who, you know, aren't a good risk for traditional loans, but they're okay with that oligarch money. Yeah, I would ask you to consider amongst the many possible outcomes. I think Trump's been not cashing checks so much as, you know, putting cash in the bank on real estate deals, right? You go buy a condo for cash and the developer gets to, you know, spend that cash wherever he wants to, on or off the books. Apparently Trump's got a bad habit of putting it off the books, Tom. Makes you want to pay your taxes on time, doesn't it?
Well, you know, he's gonna have to come up with some cash. And this will be interesting, right? So he's got, what, 30 days. The clock is ticking for Trump to get, what, either come up with 10% for the bond or the whole thing. And to get the bond, you got to have someone give you the money and believe that you would pay them back and not be a flight risk, right? I mean, the guy's got a jet. Who knows where he would go? Maybe to his boyfriend out in North Korea. You know, they're very good friends.
Little Rocket Man. You know, I heard he's going to get his bond from the Four Seasons bail bond. Yeah. It's a Friday. Air the grievances here. 844-967-2789. Yours could be next. I'm going to get the hell out of here after the show, but I'll be back next Friday. And then a grandiose expansion of the greatest radio show ever. You love us. You want more of us. We're going to give the people what they want. 3 hours of the Devil's Advocate starting February 26th. More of a happier happy hour right now.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. California. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Out on bail, fresh out of jail. Thank you for living, listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, found a little intriguing headline over at thebox.com. Trump is suddenly in need of a lot of cash. That's everyone's problem.
Ain't it, though?
The former president, who was just ordered to pay $355 million in the New York fraud case, bringing the tally this year to nearly half a billion in civil damages. Yeah, it's been a bad start for 2024. Two recent verdicts have now left Donald Trump on the hook for nearly half a billion dollars. On Friday, a New York judge handed the former president a $355 million penalty and banned him from serving in a leadership position in any business in New York for 3 years. So he can't even, you know, put his nose to the grindstone and go back to work, at least not New York, Tom. For fraudulently, this is what he's now, what, civilly found guilty of doing, Dom, fraudulently inflating his net worth to lenders in order to receive more favorable loan agreements. And in January, a Manhattan jury ordered Trump to pay the writer E. Jean Carroll $83.3 million in defaming her after he accused her of after she accused him of raping her. A separate jury in May found Trump liable for sexually abusing Carroll in the 1990s. Together, the damages from these two lawsuits are worth more than the amount of cash Trump claimed to have on hand last April, potentially putting him in a financial bind as he also faces debt repayments and mounting legal fees. And even if he appeals these decisions, as he is expected to do, he's certainly threatened, right, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
He's still likely to have to front the money while the process runs its course or to secure a bond, which would come with its own conditions. For a well-connected billionaire, that might usually amount to nothing more than a temporary inconvenience, Tom. After all, Trump could always liquidate some of his assets or borrow even more money to cover his short-term obligations. But Trump isn't just one of the country's richest men with an estimated net worth in the low billions. He's also running to serve as the second term as president of the United States. And for any candidates for public office, let alone the presidency, being cash-strapped while owning such significant amount of money could be a serious liability. You think he could be vulnerable, Dom? This cash-strapped candidate for the presidency? Here's a quote or two. Crew, Dom, you know that crew. The Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. It's pretty scary from an ethics perspective. You don't have to look to find the reasons why. Trump's first term was riddled with conflicts of interest, and that's in no small part because of his financial well-being or lack thereof, depending on how you look at it. At the time that he tried to overturn the 2020 election, he was hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, largely stemming from loans to help rehabilitate his struggling businesses, and most of which would be coming due over the subsequent 4 years. Throughout his presidency, he refused to divest from his businesses, which made millions of dollars in revenue from taxpayers, and continued to do work with other countries while he was in office, a practice he'd indicated he'd repeat in a second term, Dom. You got this?
I do not.
Okay, I'll keep going. The fact that he has so many entanglements with big businesses in other nations leaves plenty of room for things to go awry. That's why a 2020 New York Times expose uncovering his staggering debt during his first term wasn't so embarrassing for Trump, who was a who has a tendency to claim he's richer than he actually is, it also raised fears about how his debt could implicate national security. As the former head of the Justice Department National Security Division told Time magazine in 2020, for a person with access to U.S. classified information to be in a massive financial debt is a counterintelligence risk because the debt holder tends to have leverage over the person, and the leverage may be used to encourage actions, let's just say disclosure of information or influencing policy that compromises U.S. national security. Well, I couldn't imagine that Donald Trump would compromise U.S. national security. Just go look in the bathroom down at Mar-a-Lago.
Or just review the Helsinki interview with him and Putin, how smiley Putin was and how downtrodden Donald Trump was, and he didn't. Why would Putin interview with the election? He powerfully denied it.
Lawsuits aside, according to Fox, Trump has plenty of debt on his hands. His financial disclosures filed with the FEC last year showed that he has at least $200 million in debt. And according to Forbes, his business owed roughly $1.3 billion in 2021. That's a lot of corporate debt. That's not as dire as it sounds, especially because Trump has steadily paid down the money he owed when he was leaving the White House 3 years ago. For example, he paid off most of the $295 million he owed Deutsche Bank, a major source of his debt. But some of Trump's debts warrant more scrutiny, Dom. Ultimately, it's impossible to know how exactly how financially stable Trump is at any given moment. You know, it depends on his mood. With some signs, like his ability to repay some of his debts, or say him being a very wealthy man with a very wealthy friend, indicate that he's doing just fine. There are still some warning signs for his campaign. Trump has faced a steady stream of hefty legal bills that stem from his four indictments that has drained much of his campaign cash. In fact, Trump's campaign spent, what, $50 million in legal fees in the past year alone?
Last year. Yeah.
According to the Associated Press, 84% of spending from Trump's Save America Political Action Committee has gone towards covering his legal expenses. 84% of all the $27 are being expended in his legal defense. So he's raising millions and millions, and he needs it, Dom, just to pay the lawyers. At least the lawyers are getting paid. Because well, I think by the end of all this, Trump's going to end up with a public defender.
Ah, nice. In a jumpsuit. An orange one. You wouldn't even know if he's there. The fact that Donald Trump is now once again, you know, found guilty of fraud. The fact that he is now barred from engaging in business and state of New York for 3 years.
Have you ever been barred from doing business in a state, Tom? Any state?
No, no. And the fact that
I'm not welcome back in Utah. I'm just saying.
Former U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Jones. She's been assigned as the monitor for the Trump Organization finances. So he's got a babysitter looking over his shoulder on the finances. He's not allowed to do business in New York. He owes $453 million to throw on the E. Jean Carroll over a half a billion dollars that's going to have to come out sooner or later. It's going to be sooner. He can't manage those things, but he's going to manage the country. I don't think so. He can't do that. He can't manage himself. He can't manage the Trump Organization. He can't help himself. And you want to put him in the White House? Didn't we learn this already, people?
Some did. Some didn't. I think, you know, he needs a trip out west. The leftist coast. It'd be good for his soul. Come on back. More Devil's Advocates. Crudy's running short on political gumption, so I need yours. Your grievances as well. 844-967-2789. California's calling, Dom. I can hear it.
That's right. California. West Coast. West Coast.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Former President Trump hit with a $355 million fine as the judge overseeing his New York civil fraud case rendered his punishment on Friday. State Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the case, praising the verdict.
There cannot be different rules for different people in this country, and former presidents are no exception.
Trump's attorneys vowing to appeal. One firefighter is dead and nearly a dozen others injured after a home explosion in Virginia. The explosion occurred in Sterling, Virginia, about 30 minutes after fire crews were called to investigate a gas leak. Authorities say two civilians were also hurt. Prominent Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died, according to Russian prison officials. Navalny died serving a 19-year prison sentence. He was 47. Authorities in Kansas City charging two minors with crimes connected to the mass shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rally that killed one person and injured 22 others. This is ABC News.
How to get out of a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team trying to rebound after that four-game losing streak. In January, they won 7 out of 8 games and were ranked 6th in the nation. This week, they're 20th. After finally ending a four-game slump with that win over Ohio State, head coach Greg Gard has tried everything.
We'll get out of it. You know, we'll get back. We had a bad week. You know, I thought we played all right against Purdue. They made it like a few possessions back here or there. It's a bad half against Nebraska. But, you know, that's why that past week sucked. Yeah, and we got to play back. We'll play well. So, get back to playing well, playing how we know we can play, how we have played. You know? So that's the main thing. It's just continue to reinforce, remember who we were and who we have been, and you've been that a lot more than what you've been the past week.
That's the Wisconsin Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. More sunshine than clouds for the afternoon Saturday, but breezy. Highs upper 20s. On Sunday, a little warmer, more sun in mid-30s. Early next week, starting off dry with temperatures jumping back up into the 40s. Currently, it's 10 above.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
John actually asked me if women had a prostate earlier today.
He did.
You did not.
No, get this, because we're in here and we're talking about...
It was a sweet question.
Yeah.
No, I thought he asked.
What?
He goes,
do you guys get prostate cancer? And she's like, no, John, women don't have prostate.
A lot of guys don't know that.
Do they have ED?
Erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, do they have that, John?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Hearing of the grievances, mostly been hearing about ours and Donald Trump's, because he's broke as Friday without a payday in there. You know what I'm saying? He is broke. $354 million penalty against the former president.
Plus interest.
And I'm seeing speculation from his former fixer. Yeah. Didn't have enough money to pay it. Here is what Michael Cohen said today.
Before you get into this, Curdy, I want to just want to articulate this for our audience in case you don't know. Judge Engoron addressed the credibility of Michael Cohen and said he was a credible witness during the testimony. He said that in his ruling today. So please continue.
Well, that's excellent, because he will be on the stand in the next trial that begins March 25th in New York State. It's good to know that Michael Cohen, who will be a witness for the prosecution in the criminal prosecution of Donald Trump in state court, that starts next. It's good to know he's a credible witness. Mm-hmm. Should get him on this show. Cohen on MSNBC Today said, regarding the civil fraud finding, I don't think it's possible, at least not with the New York State assets. All the assets in New York, if they were sold, I don't think they cover the $355 million. Now, he does a little back of the envelope here. Let's follow him, Dom.
All right.
Cohen then went down the list of Trump's New York assets and explained the many financial strings attached. Oh, you think, Dom, you think Donald Trump's got a few strings attached?
A few.
The parking lots he owns, the restaurants, they were all taken as the sponsor when we were developing the properties. So he has zero basis in that. You're going to have capital gains tax on the differential when they get sold. No different than anybody would pay, except he won't pay them, right, Dom?
I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay you, Curdy.
Now, he says chop that by 40 or 50%. I think that's a gross overestimate of long-term capital gains, if there are any to be had. But anyways, just using his back of the envelope. So that $40 million asset is $120 million clean, but when you have mortgages on it, none of these assets aren't encumbered by a mortgage. So it's very little. So I didn't quite understand that math, but what he's saying is effectively anything Trump puts out, let's say it's a $100 million asset, it's got at least 15% long-term cap gains he's going to have to pay. So another $15 million. So $100 million becomes $85 million, best case scenario, right?
Oh, unless assuming there's no security against it.
Unless that $100 million asset has like, you know, a 75% mortgage. Let's right. call that, you know, $75 million. So theoretically, he's only going to have to pay cap gains. Maybe he paid $50 million for the building originally. He's only paying cap gains on half, $7.5 million. I don't like doing math on the radio, Dom, but, you know, I only count like $12.5 million. The guy's going right. to net after that transaction, right. that's if you don't have to pay broker's fees, right? Because you might have to throw a few real estate encumbrances like brokers in the mix. And that's if you got a willing buyer willing to pay a fair price and not a fire sale price.
At a discount for a fire sale. Exactly. 844-967-2789. Why don't I just throw this one paragraph out there, then we'll get to the phones. Here is what the judge said today in his ruling regarding who we just quoted, Michael Cohen, although perhaps the math we don't agree with, but we get the point. Here's what the judge said. Michael Cohen was an important witness on behalf of the plaintiff, although hardly the linchpin that defendants have attempted to portray him to be. His testimony was significantly compromised by his having pleaded guilty to perjury and by some seeming contradictions in what he said at trial. However, carefully parsed, he testified that although Donald Trump did not expressly direct him to reverse engineer financial statements, he ordered him to do so indirectly in his mob voice. You know what I mean, Crudy? Forget about it. Although the animosity between the witness and the defendant is palpable, providing Cohen with an incentive to lie, the court found his testimony credible based on the relaxed manner in which he testified, the general plausibility of his statements, and most importantly, the way his testimony was corroborated by other trial evidence.
That's crazy. When you're supported by the evidence, it's almost like you're believable.
Amazing how that works. A less forgiving fact finder, that's the judge in this case, might have concluded differently, might not have believed a single word of a convicted perjurer. This fact finder does not believe that pleading guilty to perjury means that you can never tell the truth. Michael Cohen told the truth. 844-967-2789.
Okay, I got one more paragraph from Cohen, and then we're taking the phones. For sure-sies. The host over on MSNBC said, so effectively what you're saying is Donald Trump is stuck. And he said, that's a great way to describe it. And I'm going to use your language. He's stuck. And then the host went on, you know, and Cohen responded. He asked, what's Trump do when he gets stuck? He goes into complete and total panic mode. It sounds like me, Dom. I get a little panicky myself. But I've never been $354 million panicky, but I continue. Donald's theory right now, the only out for him financially and criminally regarding incarceration is if he wins the election. He's not running for the presidency of the United States to do good for the United States. He wants to do, and the only way he can do good for himself is to win the presidency. This is all about running for the purpose of saving himself.
Of course, man. It's always been about Trump.
967-2789. Save yourself, callers.
Let's get to it. Wisco, Paul, you are up. Happy Friday, Paulie. What do you got?
Hey, Paul.
Hi, happy Friday to you guys, too. It's an amazing day. Right off the get-go here, my grievance is against the whole GOP political party, the Republicans, if you will, for letting this guy be their leader. Trump is their leader. I mean, it's almost laughable. And not only in this state, the whole GOP congressional delegation is behind Trump, including our Senator Rojo, Ron Johnson.
So, behind him, he conspired with him, Paul.
Well, it's even worse than that. I didn't even think about that when I was doing my grievance, but yeah, he conspired with him. So it's an amazing thing. So that's my grievance is you're following a clown. I don't even if he even as good as a clown?
I mean, a clown is a generous description, Paul.
Yeah.
I'd call him more crusty than bozo. More of a sad clown.
Hey, on a lighter note, what's the deal on Maggie Dawn? And is she going to do 1 hour, 2 hours, or how is that all going to pan out?
Maggie Dawn, starting on February 26th, will play almost universally across the Civic Media Network between 2 and 4 p.m. Central Time. Dom and Crute, the Devil's Advocates, here in Madison specifically, we'll start at 3 o'clock on WMDX and in all other places, we'll do the greatest radio show ever. We've always done between 4 and 6 PM. So both Maggie and Dom and Crute will be on between 3 and 4. You'll have to choose favorites.
That's totally awesome. And thanks for taking my call. And I don't know how Trump gets out of this and maybe, and you could think of something better than a clown to call him worse than that. Go for it. Thanks. Boy.
Well, I hope to call him convicted criminal Trump very, very soon.
Oh, is this number? Inmate Trump. Zero. Right. They already gave him a number down in Georgia, Paul. We'll have to figure out what that was. Thanks for the call, man. Have a nice weekend. 844-967-2789. Mark, you're up next. Welcome. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, if he's a clown, he's a clown Pennywise from Stephen King's It.
There you go.
And what is the grievance level going to reach when the Biden condemners are going to have to give up on this whole FBI informant thing that just turned out that perjured himself the whole time and lying the whole time? And
well, isn't that underlying basis for the Biden impeachment investigation, which? I mean, it's ridiculous, of course, but isn't that why they're supposedly doing the investigation is predicated on the fraudulent testimony guy now charged with lying to the FBI? And, you know, I heard, I heard the guy was on Hannity's program like 80 times. Maybe somebody told us that. Sometimes I listen to the callers.
No.
844. I mean, it was mentioned 2789.
Here's a specific quote from the Washington Post on this issue. And Mark, thank you for bringing it up. We hadn't gotten there yet. It's been such a joyous day knowing that justice is finally being served against the fraudmeister that is Donald Trump.
I don't know if Trump's going to be able to afford the hamburgers tonight.
Philip Bump at the Washington Post from yesterday. Remember the Biden bribe allegation? DOJ now says it was made up. Made up! And here are the statistics, quote, Crudy, that you were referencing. Fox News mentioned Biden in the context of bribe or bribery more than 2,600 times over the past 12 months. A Media Matters review of host Sean Hannity's efforts to bolster the Republican impeachment effort tallied at least 85 segments focused on the allegation and the FBI form that documented it, despite the complete dearth of evidence supporting the idea. And we talked about this.
Who needs evidence? I got opinions.
Hey, some guy, you know, plants this story at the FBI. They put it on an intake form and a, you know, standard form, and it's all BS. And what happens, right? Republicans, oh, you got to release it. Release it. You're holding up. Well, now that they charge this guy, let's assume the charges, you know how the federal government works. They're usually right when they charge things like this. What's Comer doing? Did he know that he was relying on a lie, a fraud, when he was promoting this? Did he know that? It's one thing for Fox News to put it out there. I mean, Fox News lies. I mean, we know this. They got to pay $800 million to a voting machine company, and they have more coming. So Fox News lies. I get that part. But Comer, man, you did you know? Did Jim Jordan, did you know that this guy that you were relying on,
yes,
that was the basis of 2,600 times? Did you know? Well, shouldn't that be a point of conversation? Shouldn't that be a point of investigation? Should we have, you know, committees?
It's almost like the political enemies have weaponized.
What? They're weaponizing it, Curdy?
It seems to me like they're weaponizing a congressional committee to smear the current president, much like they try to do with Hillary and Benghazi and her emails, right? And Barack Obama's birth certificate. But when it comes time to acknowledge the massive criming of the former president, the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, the 91 felonies, the $500 million in criminal fraud and rape defamation judgments against the man.
Civil. Those are civil.
I mentioned that, I think. I threw a civil in there.
No, you said criminal.
Well, he's got the criminal 91 criminal charges.
Yes, he does.
And $500 million in civil penalties for raping and defaming a woman, and of course defrauding the state of New York. But he's our guy. And that's not believable because he's being persecuted. But when you flip the coin and it's Joe Biden being impeached, and the only witness that I've seen on Hannity, mostly him and John Solomon, has been charged by the FBI for lying.
Alexander Smirnoff.
Oh, we talked about the vodka named alleged perpetrator of the crimes, Dom. But I got to say,
Smirnoff suggested real quick. This is some of the reporting. Let's remember this. In May of 2020, Smirnoff suggested it was an FBI handler that Biden would be going to jail over the leak of phone calls between Biden and former Ukrainian president. The leak originated with a Ukrainian lawmaker who provided information to Giuliani and was later sanctioned by the Trump administration as a Russian agent. I mean, I got to assume that Comer is not an absolute total idiot, that he knew. They knew what they were doing. They were doing this on purpose. And now that guy is Smirnoff charged for lying about all of it.
Dom, I'll let you pick the final topic. Either we're talking about Wisconsinites drunk driving or Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post trashing Congressman Mike Gallagher from Green Bay. Your call.
Oh, Jennifer Rubin, baby. Come back with
Don't
us.
Tell him.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Busted Pencils show coming up next.
Dom, in deference to the fact that I'm going to Catalina, and you may not have an automobile on Catalina, I believe.
Golf Catalina carts. Wine mixer?
Absolutely.
Effing Catalina wine mixer.
Oh, yeah. While you're solo grudging, grinding through a hard week, well, 4 days without me, Dom, I'll be at the Catalina wine mixer, and I don't have to worry about drunk driving home. So, you know, let's skip the DUIs till next Friday. I'll be back in Wisconsin then. Then it seemed appropriate to talk about it. The culture here and all. But, Dom, Mike Gallagher, she caught Jennifer Rubin's eye. He did. Caught her eye. Probably said that wrong tune. It's the earlier Catalina wine mixer I was at. Rep. Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin, announced on Saturday that he would not run for re-election just days after voting against the meritless impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Though some pundits praise Gallagher as the sort of Republican the country needs, is a long record of appeasing four-time indicted former President Donald Trump.
Yes.
She reminds us of all the ways, Dom. He endorsed Trump in 2020, even after Trump ridiculed late Arizona Senator John McCain, whom Gallagher apparently held in high regard. Gallagher voted against both Trump impeachments and against an independent commission to investigate the January 6, 2021 insurrection, though he did say he would not support Trump in 2024.
Ooh, brave move.
Oh, how brave. Gallagher was not one to announce Trump's rabid racism, his association with anti-Semitics, or his denunciation of the justice system. He's all kosher with that. Worse, talking about Mike Gallagher, he joined in Trump's attacks against the FBI. He declined to vote to hold Trump advisor Stephen K. Bannon in contempt of Congress. He fanned the flames of baseless assailing of critical race theory. For his weak-kneed approach, he earned a C-minus grade from the Republican Accountability Project. C-minus, that seems quite high.
Yeah, still passing.
They must judge on a curve.
That was your GPA, wasn't it?
That this guy should be lauded as a profile in courage says much about the state of MAGA-intoxicated Republican Party. Gallagher was, as I have described, amongst those who chose to accommodate evil rather than resist it. After a brief show of independence with his Mayorkas vote, he has joined a stampede of departing House Republicans.
A stampede, and that's true, man.
Not his first rodeo, Dom. Many outside the core MAGA group, including Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington, Michael Burgess of Texas, Larry Buckshon of Indiana, Jeff Duncan, South Carolina, John Curtis, Utah. I'm not allowed to go there. Gary Pence of Indiana, Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, Kay Granger of Texas, and Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota. That's quite a retirement list, Dom.
Rubin goes on to write, well, now that most of these Republicans have nothing to fear from a primary challenge, why not show some spine?
They have none. They lack four.
for example, join Gallagher and refuse to support Trump. Furthermore, they could vote to discharge any Ukraine bill to get it to the floor, defend judges and law enforcement from baseless mega attacks, and repudiate Trump's betrayal of NATO and his unconstitutional vow to use the military to suppress dissent. I mean, people, really? I mean, this is... Rubin continues. Freed from the bounds of party loyalty, which never stopped former Wyoming Congressman Liz Cheney from putting country over party, they could belatedly join Cheney's anti-Trump crusade to protect the United States from a fascist onslaught. That might not erase their original sin in refusing to impeach Trump and ignoring his anti-democratic actions as president, but it would be a step in the right direction. Yet I sense that this is a bridge too far for most of them. I hope I am wrong. I will be watching, Jennifer Rubin writes, to see whether Gallagher and others find their decency and pro-democracy bona fides. It is not too late to do the right thing.
I would writes, not bet Jennifer on it. Rubin. I would not I hold would. My breath. I mean, I appreciate the aspirational thoughts here of formerly Jennifer conservative Rubin? Columnist Jennifer Rubin, but it ain't going to happen, sister. You know what I'm saying?
This whole fear thing, it bothers me. And not because the people don't have a right to be afraid of certain things. I mean, I get that. You know, there is danger in the world. But you're talking about your party. You're talking about your constituency. You're talking about your neighbors, your friends. You're talking about your candidate. These are what you fear. And if you are in a situation where you fear your family, your friends, your candidate, your political party, maybe, just maybe, you should step back and evaluate your life. Because there is no way in hell I would ever associate with anything, anybody, any party, any whatever that would cause me to be in fear for my life. Now, if you believe it, and we talked about what, former Wisconsin Republican Chair Andrew Hitt going to be on 60 Minutes this weekend talking about, and he's one of the
fraudulent
electors from the state of Wisconsin. I was afraid. Really? Other than you saying it on 60 Minutes, where are the texts? Right? Where are the phone calls? Where's the corroboration? Where is the conversation? Oh my God, you guys, if we don't do this, there's going to be a pitchforks and torches time in America. You know what I mean? Where's that? Because you got caught because it didn't go well? No, it was a bad time. If you look in the camera and you speak very softly and concertedly, it was a scary time. My lawyer was right, and I was the responsible for not turning over Wisconsin to Donald Trump. Can you imagine? I was fearful. Come on. If you're fearful of the people that you that apparently support you, are you the leader? You know what I mean? Are you following? Are you leading? What exactly are you doing? Because I don't believe it for a minute. And if you are living in fear of the people that you represent of your party, man, you better check yourself. That's my grievance.
Well, at least Ron Johnson's got that going for him, right? He's not fearful of the MAGA Republicans.
No, they were there for him. Oh, wait, that was Trump.
No, had it been Black Lives Matter people.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you'd had some fear.
You'd have joined Trump in the safe room, man.
Thank you to our fine guest earlier today, Nick Ramos. Looking forward to a vacation without you, buddy. But you're doing live shows without me, so balances out.
Around. Next week, it's going to be awesome. Me and Nate, I'll line up some fun guests. And, of course, topics are going to drop. It is going to be a blast. Rudy, you have a good time. It's well-deserved. Say hi to the family. Be safe out there. And, folks, tune in to Devil's Advocates next week. We're going to have a good time.
Right after the Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah.
I'll be back next Friday. We'll talk about drunk driving. I might be doing it by next Friday. Thank you all.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your hometown radio. Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A $355 million fine leveled against former President Trump after a New York